Nelson Mandela has said that education is, in fact, the most powerful tool that one can use to change the world. Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, the pandemic has hampered the education sector. I think we have around 1.3 million university students in Malaysia. That's over 1 million people who were forced to suddenly transition into online learning. But mm-hmm. as we're here today, with the pandemic easing up, with restrictions easing up, how can we move forward?
Yes, that's right. So today on the show, we are going to hear it from themselves, youth and student advocates. We have Nurul Rifaiah Muhammad Iqbal, who is a student activist, as well as Ui Zihao, who is the president of Higher Education Malaysia Association, or HEA. So thank you so much for joining us on the show today, the both of you. I'm going to just start my first question to Rifaiah. Basically, you are one of the first batches of, you know, graduates from high school and entering the tertiary education since the pandemic. So what are the challenges or the issues that you face for your generation?
I think the biggest issues that we are facing, actually, first of course, about in terms of laptop, you know, to get good connections of internet. And then, of course, at that time when we just finished our high school journey and we are actually perplexed because we don't know what might happen to us. Is our classes is going to be fully online or maybe hybrid, or we have hybrid, any hybrid options, or yeah, we don't know what might happen to us at that time. And after we get our SPM results, which is like 3 months after we just finish our SPM, which is on June, and we just get our UP results on August, so it's already, I would say, overdue, because at that time supposedly we're actually enjoying our first year of degree, or like our foundation year, but actually it's not. We're actually at home and then, you know, continue our studies online. And of course, because of we need to think about what happened if in the middle of discussion our line suddenly, you know, get cut off. What happened if suddenly, you know, we doesn't have any good, our computer is not good enough, you know. So I think that's some challenges that we are facing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Zihao, based on what Rifaiah has said, what does this say really about financing of our institutions? And perhaps in your opinion, are there any areas in universities that are still underfunded, like in terms of accommodation, perhaps?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if you could look through what happens across this year, obviously rising living costs has become a very, very crucial issue for the students itself. Now, if we could look into how you know, the funds of the higher education is located, it is come in the form of block grant, which doesn't really tell us in overall how the fund is distributed. But if you do read on the medias, and also we did conduct a surveys under HEA, we did conduct surveys, you know, to collect feedbacks from students. Obviously, accommodations, food prices, as well as the transportation has become the crucial problems. Mm-hmm. Now, put examples in University of Malaya, one of them. You know how expensive is PJ, is Kuala Lumpur, Bangsas, and those areas. They don't really have enough you know, accommodations for all the students. Now, it is actually a very inconsistent scenarios across all public universities in Malaysia. Some of the universities, they have ample and also affordable kind of in-campus accommodation for the students. Mm-hmm. But from the examples that I quoted just now, University of Malaya, they probably don't have enough, and it's so expensive for you to really rent rooms in PJs and this. So if you talk about underfunding, obviously the government will need to provide more funding in combating the rising living costs, accommodations and things. And of course, not just talk about providing them affordable things, but also opening more opportunities for them to involve in entrepreneurial activities, you know, so that they can earn themselves a living, take responsibility of their life, you know, providing more opportunities for them to work on campus, you know, part-time jobs and things like this. I think that would really, really be crucial for the students to sail through these challenges.
Yeah, like that point actually sort of highlights the point where there are several initiatives, or a lot of initiatives by the government to sort of help, you know, students, especially in terms of rising cost of living. Like, you know, there are the Food at Campus 2.0 Program Nation Initiative, mm-hmm. and, you know, like the money initiatives like 115 to the e-wallet and whatnot. But I want to just focus on perhaps development, like Rifaiah has mentioned just now, in terms of laptops or tablets and whatnot. You know, what more could the government do to further help in terms of students' developments, not only just for their well-being, but also for their growth and for their education? Anyone? Yeah?
Yeah, maybe I'll just quickly talk about that.
Sure.
Now, the learning of for students has become so different, especially, you know, the employment market has looked very, very different. Now we call it as a swimming pool training nowadays. In the post-COVID-19 era, employer is looking for youth that are able, if they dump you into the swimming pools in a way, mm-hmm. that you are able to swim yourself, mm-hmm. look for minimal coachings, you know, you are able to be creative in problem solving and things like this. And I think the universities would really, really need to be prepared, you know, to produce talent in such a way. So the whole learning algorithms would really, really need to be revamped in such a way that not just that we are training or we are producing students with good computational power. Mm-hmm. Computational power is no longer that important nowadays because obviously it can be replaced by computers. Right. It can be easily replaced by AI.
That's interesting.
But how mm-hmm. good are you in terms of problem solving?
Right.
How efficient are you in terms of managing projects? How good are you at putting your creativity into your ideas into, you know, creating, bringing up new things, you know, creating new frameworks? That is all of the aspect in terms of students' development that the government should really, really seriously look into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
I agree with that point.
Essentially, just really creating graduates with a lot of critical thinking skills and holistic graduates who are able to sort of pull through in any situation in the labour market.
Yeah.
Rifaat, would you agree with what Zihao has said? And
yeah.
on that note, really, you know, what are your hopes? What do you hope to see?
I think I do agree with whatever that he mentioned just now, because we are not asking for a Starbucks in university. No, we're not. But we are actually,
not too much, yeah.
Of course, we're not asking for like GG coffee, Zeus coffee or anything. We are just asking like, you know, 3 ringgit 50 cents per meal, and then 3 ringgit 50 cents like times 3 per day is like equivalent to 315 per month, roughly. So I think it's like a lot of money that we require in order for us to survive in university. And then 150 ringgit from earlier, I think it's not enough because it's only to help us for a long term, for short term, not for a long term. So what I'm actually hoping for the government is actually maybe can think like, you know, maybe can provide us, you know, we're not asking a free meal or something, but maybe can provide us some initiative that maybe, you know, if you don't want to help us in terms of food security, maybe you can help us in terms of us in accommodations or maybe about books, you know, perhaps, because during the pandemic, 2 years of the pandemic, you know, we doesn't have any, I would say that, money for us to buy books because everything is online, and in order for us to go to the library and stuff. Of course, there are so many restrictions because of the pandemic. So when everything is going back normal nowadays, it's actually going to make us, you know, perplexed and worried about our, you know, our journey in the higher education. So of course, I mean, we really, really need support from the government to think about us, you know, how we can survive in the university world, you know, not just about money, but also our well-being. You cannot just dump every, you know, 6 students in one room without knowing that, you know, that's actually the facilities. And also, you know, we can see that, you know, some of the accommodation in the room itself is not actually in good condition. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but of course, again, I'm not asking for a Starbucks or air conditioner in the room, but I'm asking, like, you know, if we can get a perfect higher education, life, and journey for our
team. If I were to just top up a little bit.
Sure, go for it.
I think you just mentioned a key things, you know, especially after COVID-19, a lot of e-learnings have also underscored another issues, critical issues in the whole education system, which is the investment in terms of the e-resources, like access to critical journals, you know,
right.
access to up-to-date software simulations and things is really, really lag behind for public universities.
Mm-hmm.
Now, nowadays, technology companies don't really do real things in lab. You know, whatever studies, whatever new R&D projects that is triggered, it is all always going through simulations. So simulation has become so important. So our universities would really, really need to also look into the investment in terms of getting all these e-resources, electronic resources in terms. In fact, for universities to really, really survive through mm-hmm. The future.
Basically, in terms of AI or anything like that, computers and stuff?
Computer simulations.
Technology.
Yeah, access to latest journal to look on how technologies actually evolve, you know.
Mm-hmm, understood. Yeah. But yeah, back to the point what Rifaya has pointed out in terms of facility and also what you said, mm-hmm. the accommodations and stuff. The Ministry of Higher Education actually has proposed for the idea of a woman-only university. So my question really is, do you think that this can actually address the youth and the women aspirations, or do you think that this this amount of money could be sort of, you know, into different aspects or where we need it, maybe.
Well, I'm not really.
Maybe Rifaya can also point out in terms of like, do you think that this would be helpful for the youth and the women?
I would say that no, it is not going to help us. Of course, you know, if you want to build a new university just for women, mm-hmm. but at the same time, you are actually don't really help the students that I would say dying and struggling in universities. Mm-hmm. There's so many students are struggling in terms of mental health. There's so many students are struggling with it financially, and you can see that nowadays people are trying to do whatever that they want, you know, in order for them to get, you know, some inside money or like, you know, something that can make them to live not in the best life, but also to help them to, you know, to make sure that they survive in the next few years or in the next upcoming days. So I would say, no, it's not going to help us. And if we really, really think that, you know, if you want something that can help in terms of women inspiration or you want to help like women empowerment, then I would say that do a lot of programs and events that can help us in the university, in the current universities. You can see that, you know, for the past 2 years, I've been spending my last year during my high school journey. I cannot have my dream high school musical graduation because due to the pandemic. So, you know, we have been spent the past 2 years and everything's online. And of course, and then when we come back to the universities, of course, we're hoping something. We're hoping that, you know, they can help us to make us, if you really want to do it, if you really want to inspire the woman, then help us to understand it, you know, instead of creating a new platform.
And there's this also this issue of, you mentioned online, right? That's actually still ongoing with, you know, the increasing numbers of higher education intakes in the country. There's some, I believe there's some students who are also still going through online learning even after the pandemic.
Actually,
I wonder what that does for the mental health. And
if I mean to add on, like, you know, for the recent UPU's results, there's actually more than 20% students that doesn't get any universities through the UPU. So I think there's something that we need to think of.
So it really is crucial to also focus on student well-being in making sure that university is not just a place for them to learn and study, but also a place for them to make memories, make meaningful, have a meaningful time. So how is that? Do you have anything else to add on, you know, instead of a women's university? What sort of fund, how can these funds be channeled into something?
So if you look into the statistics analysis, now major public universities is all dominated by females. So that's... I wouldn't see any rationale for us to really build a woman-only campus if that is to combat so-called gender balance kind of issues. Mm-hmm. But in fact, I think if you are to combat gender balance issue in terms of higher education sectors, I think what we need to do is, for example, treat sexual harassment complaint seriously. You know, put in a just and, you know, and a transparent review as also and also complaint channels for all sexual harassment complaint that you receive, whether is it from the workplace, you know, between academicians, or that is between the students and academicians and whatsoever. So there is a lot of, if you just read the news recently, you know, there's one lecturer has been fired, you know, after the complaint has filed for 1 year plus. And I just think that is not really making any sense. You know, if you are talking about upholding women rights, if you are talking about gender balance, that is exactly the things that we should do. We should do, we should protect, you know, their life, we should protect, you know, their status in the universities, not by building a new infrastructures for them.
Yeah, I actually really like that point. And perhaps they can look into, you know, the sexual harassment bill to you know, have the institutions be accountable for sort of sexual harassment. That is all the time we actually have for our episode on It's About Youth today. Thank you once again, Uizi Hao, who is the president of Higher Education Malaysia Association, as well as Nurul Rifaya Muhammad Iqbal, who is a student activist. It was a pleasure speaking to all of you. I'm Soraya Mia.
And I'm Fei Kwan.
Thank you for watching.